Well, thank you so much for joining us on yet another episode of the From the Horses Mouth podcast. We're back after a mini hiatus, no midweek podcast, but we have got a cracking, stellar, wonderful lineup for you of racing this weekend. And we've got an okay cast as well to bring it to you. My name is Patrick Connelly. I am joined by Frank Kiki from the trading department. Frank, how are you?
I'm good, PK. Yourself?
Good man. His brand new microphone. He's only delighted. And we are joined by our now somewhat regular bonus contributor, Matthew Chapman. Matt Chapman, how are you?
I'm really well. Cheap is best. So I'm back for a little bit more and looking forward to it. Frankie's ready. We've locked him in the room for the last week to sort out the form. And you are just being Patrick as always. So it should be good.
Yes, that is the plan. That is the plan. Look, before we get stuck into the ITV racing this weekend, guys, I did want to talk about what we have seen on the track so far this week with a view to the Derby and the Oaks, because this is traditionally the Derby and Oaks trials weeks. Now, question, Matt Chapman. Have we seen the Derby and Oaks winner on the track as a three-year-old so far this season ahead of this weekend?
Well, I'll slightly change the question. There's a good chance we haven't, I think. But
fair enough.
There are one or two performances that have stood out for me. I was really taken by the Chester Oaks runner-up, Zayada, who, for me, would have won the race perhaps on another day with that the knowledge of how she was going to run in the back of Connections Minds and everything. So she's available in bits and bobs at 12-1 in places. I'd have thought Zayada wasn't the worst each-way bet of all time. I mean, obviously, Santa Barbara might have come on bundles and bundles and bundles since the 1,000 guineas. But I don't know what Frank thinks, but in my opinion, at least, she will have had to have come on bundles and bundles and bundles. I mean, okay, she was fourth, but it really, I know she's only raced once and I know she's bred in the purple and I know Aidan says they're all 2 to 3 weeks behind, but there's only 4 weeks until the guinea, till the Derby and Oaks, so she'd have to come on. As far as the Derby is concerned, I just think it's an absolute nightmare. I know Paddy and Betfair have taken a strong opinion on high definition, shoving that one out. Now it can't be bothered to turn up for the gig at Lingfield. There's nothing in there that is really grabbing me for the Derby at the moment. And I guess the Dante could yet be the key try once again. And of course, there's a big trial coming up in Ireland over the weekend as well.
Okay. Matt's very much dodged the question there.
No, Frank,
I asked, have we seen the Derby and Oaks winner? And I got 3 minutes. Okay, you said possibly not. We'll take that. So no/possibly not. Frank, have we?
Derby winner, no. Oaks winner, yes.
Oh, okay.
My short answers. Derby, yeah, it's wide open. Very excited to see Max Sweeney this weekend. I think he's got a right chance. He needs to prove that he's not ground dependent. There is that question mark. We'll get to him later. He's running on Sunday. But yeah, high definition would have been one high in the list, but obviously not running at Lingfield. We don't know what's going to happen with him now. Is he going to be, obviously it's a small setback with his bloods, is he going to be okay to get a run in before the Derby? It wouldn't be ideal to go straight there, obviously. So yeah, I wouldn't have a strong opinion on the Derby, but Max Sweeney would be the one that would be interesting at the moment. I think if he wins on Sunday, there's a very good chance he'll be favoured Sunday evening. Okay. The Oaks, you laugh at me maybe, but
I always do.
May have seen the winner at Weatherby a couple of weeks ago.
I did laugh. Weatherby.
And there is a horse, and I actually was half tipping her up for the Oaks in over October. Noonstar is the name of the horse, trained by Sir Michael Stout.
Okay.
She is by Galileo out of midday, so she's bred to do the job. She improved from her debut. I think she ran over 7 in her debut, which would be far too short. She was impressed with Nottingham winning over a mile on soft ground. The second Ocean Road's actually in the Lingfield Oaks Trial tomorrow. She won nicely that day at Nottingham, and she won nicely up at Weatherby. She was second. The second Loving Dreams of Gosden's was had won, I think, on debut as well. And they were miles clear of the third. I thought it was a lovely performance, and she wasn't, you know, given an overly hard time either. I think she's got loads of ability. And
okay.
Yeah, I have a small few bobbing her at the Oaks since last
year. What price are we talking about now?
Tens.
I think she's about ten or 11, something like
that. Okay. And you're on at?
Not 10 or 11.
All right. Times 2 or 3, I'd imagine, at least. Frankie, he doesn't do anything less than 10 to 1 anyway. So, okay. So, Noonstar, watch out for her for the Oaks. Matt playing a cautious brief, let's call it. Let's see what happens over the weekend.
Zayada.
You did say Zayada. My apologies.
Zayada will absolutely kick Moonstar into touch.
I don't think that Oaks, the Chester Oaks race. The one thing I would say about Santa Barbara, I'd agree with Matt. I was working on Sunday after the Guineas. I was disappointed. I think it was just a very... Look, we'll find out in time, but I think it was a very poor renewal, and I was a bit disappointed because she had every chance to win. And look, yeah, she ran around. She wasn't overly gone with the dip, I thought, which wouldn't be great for Epsom. And she'd have to improve an awful lot. Like, I think the Oaks going to be a far stronger race than the Guineas. As Matt said, she's got 4 weeks to improve. Can she? She definitely can. But, like, I put her to 5-1, which was best at the time, and we've been forced to cut it into 3-1. And I had this discussion with the traders yesterday, and I think you'd be mad backing her at 3-1 for the Oaks. I genuinely would. She can go and bolt up now, but, you know, if you're backing that type of horse at 3-1 regularly, you ain't going to be winning long term.
We'll see. Well, the punters are forgiving sorts at the moment, it would appear, after her being smashed up. Of course, on the day, remember, Big Drifter itself. Anyway, that's a little anti-post look. Let's look ahead to the weekend, folks. Let's start Saturday afternoon, ITV Racing. Matt, are you going to be on our screens?
Yes.
Excellent.
It should be strong as usual, because I am there. Looking forward to it. Busy old day, though. There won't be much time for chatting or getting into too much trouble, because it's bang, bang, bang.
It is, yeah. There's a lot of racing on ITV on Saturday, more than your usual. You're going to three tracks, and the first one we're going to concentrate on is Ascot, where we're going to kick off with a handicap to get things underway. It's the 155. It's for fillies only. Now, we've got a nice little dead eight runners here. No non-runners here, please. Dead eight runners. Dream Loper, Conservatoire, Lights On are the top three in the market. I'll start with you, Matt. You're going to be talking to us on the show. What's your fancy for this race?
Well, I was speaking to Jason Weaver yesterday about this race. Weaver, of course, a good supplier of excellent selections to the Paddy Power customers. And I mentioned to him that Dream Loper was a half-sister to a horse called Dream Weaver. So I fully expect Weaver to be napping up Dream Loper at the weekend. But I mentioned that to him because I had just selected Dream Loper for this race for a few reasons, really. She hasn't raced on any ground with much juice in it yet. And we have to wait and see exactly how soft the ground is at Ascot. Look, it's not going to be bottomless or anything like that, but I'd expect it to be perhaps just on the easy side of good. Dream Loper hasn't raced on anything like that, but she's by Lope de Vega. So I'm not expecting those conditions to be any problem. Indeed, they may even make her a little bit better. She's not done anything wrong in six starts so far for Ed Walker. She's got Tom Marcond on top, who for me is as good as anyone out there. Her last run at Haydock was decent enough, and it also suggested that she would now be better at this distance of a mile than the 7 furlongs she was over last time. So, look, in an open race, I don't think anyone would be saying, this will definitely win this race. I don't think it's that kind of heat. But I thought Dream Loper had a pretty decent chance on paper. And the other thing is Ed Walker's horses, who he didn't have the best of seasons last year. Obviously, English King didn't quite come up to scratch. One or two others as well. It's just a sign this season that things are going to be better. He was unlucky in the big sprint at Newmarket last weekend. So signs are good for Ed Walker, who's a quality stable. So I am going with Dream Loper.
Some people, Matt would say, Frank, that no one would say this is definitely going to win. Frank Hickey, you love a handicap, competitive handicap, and telling us that this will definitely win. So what are your thoughts on this race?
Well, first of all, the mere mention of English King just nearly makes me sick in my stomach. You're on about what price you're holding. I had a chunky bet at 6-6-1 for him for the Derby last year, so I was very disappointed on the day. Look, Conservatoire is going to be suited by the rain. So the most interesting thing is it's good to soft air currently. 9 mils forecast overnight. So I was kind of predicting it's going to be soft ground tomorrow. And Conservatoire will be suited. Both her wins came in heavy going. Haggis did win this in, I think, in 2018. Lights On then won at Nottingham last time. Clocked a very fast section. But the soft ground here would be a small question mark. She might get it being by Siouni. But I'm going to take a chance one of those behind her at Nottingham, actually, called Poet's Lady. She made a reappearance. Like, her only run on soft ground was at Haydock in a maiden, and she won. She made a reappearance in at Doncaster in the Spring Mile, and she actually went off favourite that day. She was beaten just over four lengths in seventh. That race worked out particularly well. Plenty of horses in there have run well or won races since. She was behind Lights On at Nottingham, but she led and she was very free and she ran against the far rail, which on the day I don't think was the place to be. It looked like that's where the easiest ground was, and most horse that won came up the middle of the track or a bit close to the near rail that day. So I think you can mark her up a little bit. She's been dropped 2 pounds and with lights on going up 7, she's effectively 9 pounds better off. I think she was beaten. She was well beaten on the day, maybe 5 or 6 lengths or something like that. But with the swing, and if she can just learn to settle, the fact that she went off 9-4 the last day at Nottingham, 13-2 in a big handicap at Doncaster, they obviously feel she's better than her mark. She just needs to settle. Hopefully they won't go out in front, that they maybe hold her up a little bit. And if she settles, she'll outrun her odds, I think.
Yeah, but Frank, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you?
Ah, 2.
It's down to 3.
Good, that's fine. You don't have to be bullish about every race. Matt's dreaming with Dream Loper. Frank is feeling very poetic with Poetic Lady.
Oh, that's what I am, right? Poetic, yeah.
You said you were very good at Irish. That's a very poetic language, so, you know, why not? The second race on ITV from Ascot is the 2:30. It is the listed Buckhound Stakes. This is a race over 1.5 miles. Looking at the betting as we speak, again, looks an open race. I'll start with you, Frank, this time. Without a fight, Alba Flora, Lost Eden, they're probably going to be the top three in the betting. Lost Eden, we just don't know how good he could be. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to go with Deja for the Chapman Hines. Look, his top rate of 110. He was quite progressive last season. He finished second here at the Royal meeting, the Duke of Edinburgh Stakes, over 1.5 miles off a mark of 100, only beaten, I think, about half a length. He won the Old Newton Cup in his next start, then a haylock on soft ground, off a mark of 105. He was conceding 7 pounds to Laddie, beat him over a length. Laddie reopposes here. I think he's about 10 or 12 to one shot. He's a bit too free in the Ebor, stepping up a trip. And the good ground in his reappearance at Newbury wouldn't suit him at all, I don't think. So getting what I predict will be soft ground is a big plus for him. He is top rated. It's a fair price. He's moved this morning. I see Hugh Taylor's put him up, so that's obviously going to lead to a line of blue and odds checker. But I still think he's a fair price. It's around the 9-2, 5-1 mark. And that's fair enough with the rain, a big, big positive for him.
Mr. Chapman?
Well, I mean, I could not back a Peter Chapel Higham horse if someone gave me the money to do it. The chances of backing a Peter Chapel Higham horse are almost so small that it's not worth looking at them. And it's really sad, actually. I'm not saying this with any glee whatsoever. I mean, this is one of the trainers who was a great trainer of a racehorse, Derby-winning trainer. But you only have to look at his statistics. He hasn't trained a winner this year. He only trained 4 winners in 2020 and 3 winners in 2019. So the chances of you backing a Peter Chapel Higham winner are almost extinct. You'd have only had 7 chances in the last 3 years to back a Peter Chapel Higham winner. So it's a very, very brave shout just on that statistic. And I imagine Frank's sitting there thinking, Jesus Christ, did I not look at the Peter Chapel Higham statistics before I put Deja up? And Hugh Taylor, of course, a colleague of mine I have huge respect for, but, you know, I just can't have Peter Chapel Higham. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. I just don't understand it. So I thought I might go for a trainer who does have the odd winner, and that is Without a Fight. Look, you mentioned Lost Eden, who's a key horse in this race, but the simple truth is Andrea Rattini has ditched Lost Eden for Without a Fight. So even if we don't really know, we have a clue, because trust me, Azzini likes money. He's not going to just give Lost Eden up for no reason. So with Without a Fight, he's got a good rating. He's been very, very consistent for the Crisfords. In the conditions, I like the fact he's a horse who will stay further than 1.5 miles. He can go 1.6 miles, I suspect, this season, no problem at all. He has tried that in the past and maybe hasn't quite looked as strong a stare as perhaps they might have thought, but he's very strong stay out 1.5 miles. He was second to Al Azi in the John Porter. I mean, Al Azi is absolutely the apple of William Haggis's eye. The horse has a few mental issues, but on a
who doesn't, Matt?
Well, I'm going
to say, who doesn't?
yeah. Although not something to jest about, but I know what you're saying. You know, Al Azi is very, very talented, and this horse was second to him. Look, he's not going to be the biggest price of all time, which is the key to all of these kind of selections. But I think I did speak to Azzini about it yesterday, and he seemed pretty keen without saying, yes, that will go and win. So I'm Without a Fight, but good luck with Deja. Let's hope that you've managed to pick out one of those rarities in the world, a Peter Chapel Higham winner.
Not a case of deja vu, then, is it really, a Peter Stoppelheim when it comes to winners? But as you said, he has trained winners in the last couple of years. He hasn't had one yet this year, this season. So maybe Saturday's the day. Let's move on to the big handicap on the card on Saturday at Ascot. It is the Victoria Cup. It's a 7-furlong race. It's always a very, very competitive race. And this year is no different. Frank, I will start with you. This is a Frank Hickey race. There is usually a horse here who you think, yeah, that's going to run well, or maybe two. I know you did tip up Acquitted last week, and I see he's in today.
Yeah, I think he's in a massive chance. Look, his price isn't, there's nothing wrong with his price, but I thought there was a couple in there, bigger price, that I was going to take a chance on. He's a very obvious chance, and I think he'll go well. We're paying six places, so I've looked at two at bigger prices. The first is Ropey Guest. Very highly tried as a juvenile, running 10 times, it's an awful lot really for a 2-year-old, didn't manage to win, but was placed in listed company, was placed in the Group 3 at Combe, Tattersall's Autumn and Horace Hill Stakes. He was behind nice horses like Military March with Cheetah and Al Suhail. His Horace Hill second behind Ken's Eye Warrior was in heavy ground, so any overnight rains, no positive for him, I don't think. Last season he was fourth in the Group 2 Jersey Stakes in his reappearance at the Royal Meeting, beaten just over four lengths. That was a fair run. Malatham won. Symbolise was half length in front of him, but Ropey Guest is £5 better off here. Symbolism runs in the race too and is a far shorter price. He was then third in a Newmarket listed race behind Al Suhail, won a very easy challenge for a novice race, and he was 3-10 on. He was 3-10, sorry. He disappointed with a 40-1 shot in the Balmoral, but I think a mile stretches him. That was off 103, though. He's been dropped £5. He's drawn 23, which I think mightn't be the worst spot in the world. And just with the extra places and his ability to run on late into a place, I think he's one that might hit the frame at a big price. And the other one then, also drawn high in 29, is Sunset Breeze for Mark Prescott. Quite progressive last season. Won his first three starts at handicaps over six furlongs at Newcastle, Newmarket and Chelmsford. His rating went from 69 to 87 as a result. Looked like the handicapper caught up with him then at Newmarket in a good 3-year-old sprint handicap when he was only 6th of 17. But he had a little break, returned at Ascot, was just touched off by a horse of Chris Wall's called Double or Bubble. Sunset Breeze running off a mark of 87 that day. That was over seven furlongs and looks strong form now with Double or Bubble bolting up at Newmarket on her reappearance. She's running in a group race at Linkfield at the weekend and she's now a stone higher than the Ascot run. I think that run proves that Sunset Breeze will get seven furlongs. His last start was at Doncaster in a 6.5 furlong handicap where he was just caught late on by Tronchy, who, again, that was off a mark of 87. That Tronchy's gone up a stone that day, and the farms were franked by horses behind it as well. Sunset Breeze has gone up £4, but even working off the two runs where he was second, he's potentially well handicapped. Mm-hmm. You're just guessing with the draw that high will be the place to be. If it is, I think those two will run reasonably well and hit the frame, hopefully.
Sunset Breeze and Ropey Guest, from one Ropey Guest to another. Matt Chapman, your thoughts?
Oh, Patrick, they just roll off the tongue, don't they?
They do sometimes. As soon as he said Ropey Guest, I wasn't even listening to the rest of what Frank said. I was like, I know exactly what I'm going to say.
To be fair, no offence to Frank, but a lot of people had switched off quite a long time ago. But no.
I'm sure he'll take lots. I should take lots of offence to it.
It was good stuff. Look, there's a whole load of horses in here, and Frank will know this better than me, that you look for in this type of event, like Raising Sand, Greenside, Chief of Chiefs. Those, there are a type of horse that run well in this race. But what I thought was slightly different about this time around is that your typical horses that you think they'll pop up because they love these conditions, i.e. a big field, usually a strong gallop, they come through the horses. They're all getting on a bit now in age. Raising Sand is 9. Greenside at the age of 10 would arguably have to put up the career performance off 100. Chief of Chiefs off 99. They're all right at the top of their handicap marks, but they're old now. So Escobar will be another who's 7. Admittedly, he's not quite as old, but equally up 103. He's really got to be right at the top of his form. So my thought was to try and edge away from the sort of typical horses that you look at in this race and try and find something that might be coming through and turn into one of those horses. And the one I liked was right towards the bottom of the handicap of 8 stone 3, a horse called Jamera Bay, for Ray Dawson and Roger Varian. He hasn't got a good wins to runs ratio. He's run 10 times and he's only won one race. But what I thought was quite interesting once I delved a little bit into his form, that when he met bigger fields, he ran really well in the places. And most of his racing hasn't been done in big field races. But when he's hit double digits and there's been a better gallop to run at, he's done much better. He's never had the chance to run at a field like this before. And I just thought that this might be one of those 7 furlong come mile handicappers that we see year after year in the future. And this might be the beginning of his way through. I've got no problem with Dawson. The ground for this horse is absolutely okay. There's no problem with juicing the ground. 8 stone 3 is obviously a good racing weight in a race like this. Dawson instantly takes off 3. So it actually brings it down to 8 stone. I thought, you know, as long as he's ready to roll, and you've got to think the trainer will have got one ready for the Victoria Cup, I thought Jumeirah Bay would have at least each way claims, and with Paddy playing about 20 places out of the 29 runners, hopefully I'll get in the first 20 and make some cash.
Yeah, if it was 20 places, I'd still think I'd manage to find the 21st and 22nd horse home. Like, I'd still think it would definitely happen. 3 shouts for the Victoria Cup from Ascot. Right, let's move to Lingfield. It is their traditional big day of their turf season, I guess you could say. You could argue their all-weather Champions Day is probably their big day. But this is their big trials day. We've got the Oaks and Derby trial. We'll start with the Oaks trials, 2:15. I will start with you, Matt, on this occasion. Whether we have an Oaks winner in here, time will obviously tell. Technique, good second at Epsom in their version of the Oaks trial, is probably going to make the market. Is that where you're landing?
Yeah, both my selections in the trials at Lingfield are, the form of their races is not exactly working out, but I'm keeping the faith. Technique, for me, looked like a horse who was going to really enjoy the mile and a half. At the time of the second to Verco, I thought that was a pretty good performance. And I'm going to let Verco off his absolute flop at Chester this week, because Connections did exactly the one thing that drives me absolutely bonkers with trainers and owners, in that they had a horse who came from off the pace and was delivered late. Well, not delivered late, but he stayed on strongly enough to win late, and he won. And then they raced them next time, and they raced them from the front. And I have no idea why. You see it in maidens all the time, and you can sort of understand it in maidens. But you see a horse flash home on debut, and then it pops out and makes the running next time, and you think, well, hold on. It's just shown you a huge amount of promise coming from off the pace on its debut. Why would you completely change its running style for its second run? And with maidens, as I say, you can understand it, because they could say the horse has now got a bit of experience and he knows what it's doing. But with this type of horse, like Verco, I could not understand running it from the front. So I'm forgiving Verco, the long story there. And I'll go with Technique. Look, I spoke to Frankie Dettori last weekend about Uncle Bryn, who was third in that race. Dettori came on the opening show on ITV last Saturday, having just ridden Uncle Bryn Work. And I said to him, why are you riding Uncle Bryn Work? Because, to be quite frank, Frankie doesn't need to ride Work at all, and especially on the horse that's just been well beaten in the Derby trial at Epsom. And he said, look, I really like Uncle Bryn. I think he's a really good horse. That's not something you hear every day of the week, and wasn't something I was expecting either. So maybe the form is okay. Anyway, the be all and end all, you've got to pick something. Everything looks okay for Technique to run well.
You don't have to pick something, by the way, just in case, you know, you might have to, but not everyone has to pick something. Sometimes well, go, do you know what? That's too tough for me, but I certainly wouldn't have a strong opinion in this race. So Matt has landed on Technique via that Epsom trial, essentially. Frank, your thoughts on the Oaks trial?
Look, you have to respect John Gosden's runner in here. He's won it 3 of the last 4 runnings he's won. Loving Dream, she ties in with Noonstar, we mentioned earlier. She was second to her at Weatherby. But the one I like actually finished second to Noonstar last season, and that's Ocean Road for Hugo Palmer. If you go back and watch that race at Nottingham, which was on soft ground, so any rain overnight is going to be no issue. She made a big move that day to kind of go into the lead, and then Noonstar went by her again in the last furlong. But the ability she showed to kind of go from the back of the field to the front on debut, when, you know, she was the tiny bit green as well, I thought was very interesting. And she went to Lingfield then for kind of an end of season maiden, and surprisingly enough, you know, after showing such promise against a really well bred horse, you would think she would have gone off shorter at Lingfield. It'd be the one niggle that she didn't, but I think she only went off 13-8. You would nearly expect her to be odds on. But she won very easily again. There's mixed messages from that Linkfield race. The fourth has won twice since, and the sixth won a very low level handicap. So it mightn't have been terrible, but she's a half-sister, Wigmore Hall, who improved as a three-year-old and won a grade one in Canada, Woodbine. She's by Australia, so she's almost certainly going to appreciate stepping up in trip. And I think she can frank the Noon Star form.
Yeah, you're hoping she does anyway.
Frank is all over this Noon Star. He will find any horse that gives Noon Star a bit of a boost if he can. You get the feeling he's falling.
Dream, we might just do the Ocean Road and Loving Dream forecast to really frank it. I think Noon Star runs in the Musadora next week as well. So
one assumes. So Michael, he likes that race for there, his Oaks fillies, doesn't he? He generally runs in the Musadora, the good ones anyway.
Well, the thing is, like, it's in, look at her breeding. Like, isn't even, you're looking at, if Santa Barbara, you know, obviously is favored. Like, what else is bred as well as Noon Star to do the job in Epsom?
I know, but look, Kennelly was beautifully bred, but look what ended up.
Well, that's a lovely compliment to my parents, I guess. I'll go half full. Mum and Dad will be delighted with that. Yeah. Right, we'll move on to the Derby trial. A couple of selections. I'm waiting for Matt and Frank to agree on a horse. I'm looking forward to it at some stage. Maybe it'll be in this race. It is the Derby trial. I'll be looking forward to mentions of Anthony Van Dyke and High Rise on ITV over the weekend. I'll have a counter out for Anthony Van Dyke. Traditionally, though, it's not the Derby trial, is it? But we'll see what happens this week. Couple of Aidan O'Brien horses, Matt, in this race. Ryan has gone with Kyprios, but it's Adiar, I suppose, who's going to make the market.
Yeah, I think the fact that Kyprios has got the cheap pieces on already just puts me off. I know Serpentine had cheap pieces on and all that, but I don't think any of us think that Serpentine was in any way a worthy Derby winner. Well, I don't anyway. Look, I made the Adiar my nap of Saturday, not a big price nap with the benefit of hindsight, but when I selected it, I wasn't quite so sure it was going to be this short. I was really, really taken with Adia's seasonal debut. Now, I know the form is already questionable. The third didn't run well at Chester this week, but there was just something about Adia in that classic trial, the fact that it's this great big horse that's going to clearly enjoy some juice in the ground, bred to stay. And it just, the way it finished off at Sandown in the classic trial, I thought was something. It went straight in my notebook as I like that horse. I don't know how good he is, but he is bred to be very good. And I said to myself that day, wherever Adiar goes next, I will be picking him. And so he's my nap of Saturday. And I'm hoping that he is going to show the improvement from that run over this extra distance. I think he could be really, really good, Adiar. And as I say, he's not bred to be a mug in any ways whatsoever, Adiar. He's a Godolphin horse, but he's by Frankel out of a Dubawi mare. So you've got the greatest Jubmont stallion in there. You've got the greatest Sheikh Mohammed stallion in there as well. You know, this thing is bred to be an absolute machine, and I suspect he's going to absolutely hack up here. I've got this feeling it's going to flip anchor back in the day, going from the front or whatever. It doesn't matter how they ride this. It's just going to win.
I've got a feeling, Frank, you're not going to agree because even or money or thereabouts favourite doesn't do it for you.
No, I think he will win.
Kyprios
won.
Yeah, Kyprios. Look, he won his reappearance.
Frankie goes to Linkfield. Come on.
Frankie goes to Linkfield. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, like just Aidan's horses, particularly the colts he sent over, have been very disappointing. And I suppose when you were looking at the Guineas trials and what he was sending over, like, oh, there's the second string to get a gauge of where, you know, where everything's at. But in the Guineas itself, they were all very disappointing. And you just have a big question mark about them now. And as Matt already alluded to, with the cheap pieces going on, Kyprios wouldn't be for me. Like, I think he's more likely to end up being a Triumph Hurdle horse than a Derby horse, in my opinion. And this ADR, he ran really well in the circumstances, Sandra. I think he was slow away. And if you look at the sectionals, he was the one to take out of the race. The first and third were prominent the whole way around. And I think he just had a little bit too much ground to make up. And I think the good ground was, when I was pricing the race the day before, I think the good ground was a bit of a question mark for ADR, because he'd been so impressed with Nottingham on testing ground when winning his maiden, that I thought he wanted cuts. The overnight rain is really going to be of benefit to him. And I just think he'll take a bit of beating here. We have seen money from for the Derby. Whether he's a Derby horse, I'm not sure. But I think he'll take plenty of beating all right tomorrow.
Go, Frankie.
Two votes for Addy, our first horse that you guys have agreed on. So that has to win. That's got to go into every yakka on Saturday afternoon. Now, it all crescendos, the Linkfield card, to the big race at Linkfield on Saturday. The download, I'll give them a plug even on the Paddy Power sponsor podcast. The download the NaviBet app handicap, a class 3 race for 4 years and upwards, a 0-95. Matt, four runners. this is the big race, Matt. I mean, everyone's going to be really keen. They're going to be listening. They're turning it up slightly to go, what's going to win the 4 o'clock at Linkfield, Matt?
Well, something that people call me a lot of the time is charming, obviously. And I'm going to turn on the charm here for James Fanshawe. And
there's a horse here called Assad. I thought you were going to go that one.
No, thank you. Very good. Turn on the charm takes a slight drop in trip, but it's a Fanshawe runner. So I'm expecting it just to be tucked in behind. There's a Mark Johnston horse in there, Eton College. That should provide the race. That's the great thing about Mark Johnston. Even if, you know, in a race like this, you know there's going to be some gallop on. And I expect Turn on the Charm to just come through late and outclass this lot. We should just say that I think ITV also showing the 325, and I'm going to go Bounce the Blues there in that particular contest.
I've skipped that race. So you know the way I send you guys on running orders? This happens all the time. I send on running orders and Ruby Walsh gives out to me all the time saying, would you stop sending me bloody mails, PK? I get more mails from you. And then what do? I don't even look at the bloody running order. Right, we'll get back to the 325. We'll continue. No, you've given your selection. But Frank, your thoughts on the 4 o'clock and then we'll go back to 325.
I have very few thoughts. It really shouldn't be on telly. Really shouldn't.
Really shouldn't. Yeah, really shouldn't. The 325, though, any thoughts on that? Matt did mention.
Yeah, I was like, Z Germans won this in 2014 with Emerald Star, and Andreas Voller is bringing over Axana. I think she's a little bit underestimated in the market. Yeah. She was a Group 3 winner as a 3-year-old, was just touched off in Main Edition, who was trained by Mark Johnson in the German 1000 guineas that season. Didn't win in 3 starts last season, but she did bolt up in a listed race at Hupgarten last month. Bubble we mentioned earlier and Bounce the Blues have really strong claims, but I just think Axana, she's a little underestimated, and German runners actually don't have a bad record when they come over to the UK. And they've picked up a few. I can't remember the name of the horse, but there's one at Nottingham and one at Haydock in the last few years that came over and won listed in group races.
I seem to remember one at Newbury or something like that. I think it was 53 or 50.
Yes, there was.
I don't know if it was the Lockinge card or what one it was, but it won a 33 or something like that to one, and no one gave it a chance. But
I went digging this morning, but I was under pressure for time, so I couldn't find out exactly the numbers of German winners in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. But there have been a few.
Frank, you're honest for one reason only.
It wasn't the Germans where you always had to go back to Star Appeal when Star Appeal was one. Everyone used to say, oh, well, Star Appeal won. But anyway, it's good. What we've learned is that Frank is going for Assad and the Germans over the weekend.
Axana for Frank. Just remind us, Matt, who your pick was in 325 before we move on to Haydock.
I'll go Bounce the Blues. I think it's simple. I think she probably just needed her seasonal debut behind Top Rank at Doncaster. But I have a feeling Top Rank is going to get very much Top Rank this season. I think that's a decent horse for James Tate. And with Usher Murphy on board for Andrew Boarding, I would expect you to have at least a good run for your money from Bounce the Blues.
Excellent. Right. Lots of derbies and Oak Trials and all that sort of stuff and Ascot Flat. But of course, there is the Swinton, which, as ever, has its very early summer spot at Haydock. It's a handicap hurdle, valuable one too. So we have a little bit of jumping on Saturday. This is generally a really competitive race, Matt, and this year is no different. There's a few Irish raiders in there as well to give a little bit of spice to it. What's your thoughts on this year's Swinton?
I like Celestial Force here for John Dance and the champion trainer, Paul Nichols and Bryony Frost. Bryony's kicking in quite a few winners at the moment with Cobden out of action. It's not getting any publicity because, to be quite frank, no one really cares about the jump season at this time of year, but she's knocking in winners almost every day. I mean, you'd expect that if you're riding for Paul Nichols, but she's just showing what she can do when she's given the chance in numbers, as well as the odd good horse, of course, like Froden. But I thought off 10 stone one, Celestial Force has every chance here. Finished fifth at Sandown behind Herbiez, who goes again here. But I think it's got every chance of reversing the form for an inform yard. And everything looks set for me for at least, again, in this, I probably look at it slightly different to Frank. I'm not saying, look, this will win, that will win. I'm looking for a horse that will give me a run that I think will be bang there, and I'll be able to give it a cheer from two out. And I'd be very surprised if Celestial Force hasn't got every chance with two to jump.
The Force for Matt, Frank?
Yeah, you run all the numbers and stuff, and you just come up with Irish horses and handicap hurdles. Simple as that, isn't it? But the one I liked of the two was Shanro for Carl Thornton. Wouldn't be a trainer I think that too many in the UK be aware of, but he can train winners. Very shrewd. This horse has loads of ability. Won three bumpers, didn't take the hurdles initially, went on to the flat then. Did really well on the flat. Like, you go back to last year in Killarney in October, beat the Jam Man very easily over mile six when conceding 10 pounds to him. The Jam Man had a claimer on board as well that day and beat him very easily. Was an excellent fourth next time then in the November handicap at Nace, despite getting a stone for winning that Killarney race. And he was running off American 97 at Nace. Things finally clicked for him over hurdles last time at Fairy House over 2 miles. We bolted up by 9 lengths off a mark of 123. Like, the Irish handicapper has given him a stone for that. And the English handicapper has given him another more, 6 pounds.
Yeah.
He's got a 21 pound rise is what he's after getting, or 20 pound rise. That would make it difficult. But the fifth from that Fairy House race did win a Punchestown handicap to Frank the Farm. And based on his flat ability, I think a mark of 144 isn't possible at all.
Okay.
And he handles testing ground. That run went fourth in the November handicap was on heavy ground. So, you know, you'd always worry about Haylock and good. It can go from good to firm to heavy in an hour. So with the rain forecast overnight, I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, soft or even worse tomorrow.
Right.
But Shannon, for me, I think it's got a fair each way chance now that he's finally learned how to jump.
Two at very different ends of the handicap there. Shanro at the top of the weights and down the bottom, Celestial Force. Right, it is Saturday naps time. Matt, you kind of gave it away already. But remind us, your nap, where is it? What is it?
Okay, I'll go at a small price, i.e. you're not going to get rich. Adair in the Lingfield Derby trial and in the...
You get richer.
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure that will win. So that's collected. And with your winnings there, hopefully you can afford a little bit each way on Jumeirah Bay in the Victoria Cup, who I think has got a great each way chance.
Lovely. Frank, your nap on Saturday, please.
My nap on Saturday. I will go to Nace, and you can actually make it a double in with ADR and
okay.
Celtic Times for Mr. Jim Bulger. Having a good time with things. After his Guineas win last week, he's had 21% strike rate for the last 2 weeks, run to form of 68%, so in form. Celtic Times run a cracker on debut now, haven't beaten half length by Massetto. It looked a very useful maiden. Three opposing Andreas Vesalius was 6 lengths back and forth. The front two pulled clear that day. That was over 5.5 furlongs and now it's a stiff finish. This is 5 furlongs at Nace. I think Celtic Times will be able to bounce out. Look, Aiden's won. Obviously, it'll be the danger, but with the benefit of experience, I think Celtic Times will kick out in front and won't be seen.
Okay. Before we move on to Sunday, I will give you, Frank, and I'm going to start the stopwatch. 120 seconds to give us any other selections for Saturday.
I've only two horses, so I'll be timed.
Well, that's not 120 seconds, that's 4 minutes.
Haydock, 3:45, 7 furlong listed race, Kayser. Not consistent whatsoever is this horse. And you've got current option here for Aidan McGuinness, but he's a £5 penalty. He did run really well at the Curragh last time when second in a group three. But Kayser, as I said, he's far from consistent. He did bolt up here last season, a mile handicap off a mark of 105. That was in soft ground. He's in the same form. I think he'll take a bit of beating. He was poor the last day in Ascot. Fast ground would have suited him. You go back to the run previous night, he's only beaten a length and a half at Doncaster by Top Rank. If he's on a going day, I think he will go very close. And the other one I liked, because of the forecast rain, is in the 220 at Nottingham, the mile 6 furlong handicap, Giacomundo. A good ground in his reappearance wouldn't suit at all, but his last run of last season was at Red Carrow over this trip and beaten just the neck by Cornerstone Lad off a mark of 68. Giacomundo runs off 70. Cornerstone Lad was winning that race off a mark of 71. Of course, he won the Fighting Fifth over hurdles, so like he's rated, you know, 160 over hurdles, so he's very well treated back in the flat. Giacomundo hasn't won since June 2019 when he won over 10 furlongs ahead. I got 75, so he's £5 lower than his last winning mark. He has won at Nottingham before. Soft grounds key to him. He'll be double figure price. And just with the way the race might be priced up with, you know, more recent form on better ground, you know, to the 4, he might just surprise at the price.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Well, let's have a look ahead to Sunday afternoon's racing. And it is very, very good racing. And most eyes, if not all, will be on Leopardstown's Derrenstown Stud Derby Trial card. But there's other group races on the card. Frank, I'm going to look, and we're going to have a chat about these races, starting with the Amethyst Stakes. It's a group three for the older milers, for three-year-olds and upwards. So three-year-olds would be a tough task for the three that are in this. What are your initial thoughts on this race after the declaration?
Look, at the moment, at the time of recording, it's good to form in places, and there's 12 mils forecast before racing. So I kind of predict the ground will be good to soft in places, perhaps.
Leopardstown, though, I go good. They did, like, even it dries out so quickly, and they never get as much rain as everyone else.
Maybe I think we're forecast more. I actually use the Norwegian website to normally pretty good. So if they get to 12 mils, I think, look, it'll be perfect ground. So there'll be no. The one, I know you're saying with the three-year-olds, but Ace Ozzy is difficult to overlook here, getting the weight off the older horses, getting at least 11 pounds off them. He was an excellent second to Poetic Flair in the Guineas trial here last month, and obviously Poetic Flair winning the Guineas at Newmarket. That form looks very strong. That was over 7 furlongs. Ace Ozzy was finishing very strongly that day, so you think the step up to a mile's really going to suit. Look, getting the weight, he should be difficult to beat, I think.
Okay. The Irish 1000 Guineas trial, the second at Leopardstown. It's so curious. They have two 1000 Guineas trials in the space of a couple of weeks at the track. Is due off at 2:45. Now, Frank, your thoughts on this one? Big field, a lot of them looking for black type, but some of them genuine Irish Guineas contenders, including Aidan O'Brien. Ryan Moore has gone for Joan of Arc of the rhyme of the Aidan O'Brien battalion, shall we call it. Fantasy Lady might be top rated, though. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Joan of Arc disappointed the last day. I think the interesting one is Acanella for Jura Lyons. Very impressive when a well-back favourite on her debut here last month. This is a step up in class. And the one, look, I'm a big fan of Paddy Toomey. I think he's a very good trainer, very shrewd trainer. Very rarely does a horse of ability run in a maiden and win without attracting a fair bit of cash, which is a good sign that they know what they have and they know, you know, what they're going to run to. And this Fantasy Lady, she progressed with every start last year. She was fourth in debut Cork over 6 furlongs. She went into my tracker that day because I thought step up and trip would really suit her. Back to 10 at Dundalk, her next start, stepping up to 7. She finished second. And she then was stepped up into listed level despite not even winning her maiden for her third start when stepping up to a mile at the Curragh. And she beat Sense of Style, a short head, that day. Sense of Style reopposes and has run well in the other 1000 Guineas trial. I think she finished third. So she's probably the one to beat. But Fantasy Lady, she was disappointing at Nace against older horses in the Group 3. The ground that day was pretty bad. I'd be willing to forgive her that run. I think she's better than that. And just she's likely to be a fair price because she ran a little bit disappointing at Nace. Mm. And just because of that, I think she's a useful horse. I'd probably side with her if, I don't know what price it's going to be. I didn't price the race yet, but, you know, if you're getting, you know, in and around 8-10-1, I'd have a few bob each way.
Jesus, no, I'd be surprised. Well, I'm not pricing the race, but I'd be lumping on there at that price.
I don't know who's going to be pricing or whatever, but I think there's a chance that, you know, the likes of Acanella and Aidan's one and even Sense of Style would probably be ahead of her in the market.
Excellent.
Potentially. If that is the case,
yeah. Well, make sure it is, Frank, because I have a Paddy Power account and I can still use it. So make sure she's a nice price for me. 3:15 is the Derrenstown Stud Derby Trial. I think we're running out of gas now with calling this one of the most informative Derby trials. It certainly was when the likes of High Chaparral and Galileo were winning this en route to Epsom. But we are running out of gas a little bit. However, it's your usual mix of Aidan O'Brien horses, as Ger Lyons, Joseph, Jim Bulger, Dunica, all represented. I've got a feeling I know who you're going to tip, but you got to confirm it. It's Max Sweeney?
I'd call it Max Sweeney, but look, it's going to be interesting to see what way the market will go, because Balshaw Ballet was very impressive here in the Ballysacks, and I would think the small ground concerns for Max Sweeney, he might be favourite. Actually, I'd be pretty sure he will be favourite. But Max Sweeney won the Virgin Futurity last year at Doncaster in heavy ground. He won his maiden on yielding ground, beating Wembley. He also won the Futurity on soft ground. Like, you know, he wasn't consistent last year, to be fair. But when he was good, he was very good. And you're just there that if it isn't a dependence on ground, then he's a player in the Derby. I think I'm hoping he can win this or at least run really well to take his place in the Derby, because I think he's going to be suited by it. And again, he's by New Approach as well, isn't he? Who was a Derby winner himself. Yeah. So there's every chance he will end up a Derby horse. And as I said, Boulder's in great form. And just, I'd have that niggle with Aiden's three-year-old Colts there. I know Boulder Ballet won, but in the main, they've been very disappointing so far this year. And even yesterday at Chester, you know, the couple he sent over, the three-year-olds, were disappointing. So, yeah, for me, Max Sweeney's the one. And, yeah, looking at the Derby, he'd be the one I'd be the most interested in at this moment in time, anyway.
It's interesting, Jim has actually put a pacemaker in this race. You don't often see a pacemaker in trial races, but he's actually thrown in a pacemaker. And Kevin Manning, who was speaking after winning the Guineas on Poetic Flair, said that he had ridden both Max Sweeney and Poetic Flair, I think on the Tuesday, and he got off and he was like, boss, they're both as good as each other in terms of going for the Guineas, because Max Sweeney was still in the Guineas, plus the 5-day stage. So that shows he's definitely got a lot of pace still.
He's a load really of ability. Super. He's loads of ability. It's just you'd love to see him go win on Sunday on decent ground, and then you'd know ground isn't an issue. Do you know what I mean? Just to have that question mark removed, because there's no doubt he has loads of ability. It'd be nice to see Jim do the double as well, wouldn't it?
Ah, that'd be some feat for the man. He's nearly 80, he's 79 or something.
I read that he's nearly he's either nearly 80 or is 80. He's in some nick for a man who's 80.
Oh well, doesn't drink, all that sort of stuff. So he's looked after himself, Jim Bulger, one of the greats of the game. There's a really good card, a supporting card, Frank. There was actually one that caught my eye. I will keep the Jim Bulger theme going. He's running in the 4:45, the Cavantilli handicap. Now we're talking a 0-85, and this horse is rated 65, actually is out of the handicap by £5, £4 or £5. Cool Cullen. Now, why this horse out the back in three runs? Because of the name. How can Jim Bulger give a horse the name of his training establishment, his own private residence? That bad a horse. It can't be that bad. Rated 65. This horse has to have ability somewhere, you know. And for him to name a horse Cool Cullen, again, a reminder, that's where he trains. That's where he owns his own property. You wouldn't call a bad one that, would you? Anyway, he's rated 65. He could go off 50-1 and finish second last or last, and that probably will happen. But I just, when I saw that horse come down the first maiden run, I was like, oh, this has to be useful. It's been brutal in three starts, but rated 65. Anyway, I'm going to be keeping an eye on that one. Anything else for you?
That's a very, I would never have spotted. I'm just having a look there now. Peace has gone for the first time.
Handicap debut.
Yeah. I'm just looking, going, is the mark of 65 a little bit? Did you say he's generous? £5 wrong? No.
He's £5, so he's actually 60.
Even 60? Like, basically, on what he's done, I don't 40. Even know if he deserves to get a mark.
He's 40-something is what he's done, I'd say. I'd say the handicapper's the same. Gary Gorman was probably just going, I'm not giving Jim 45 for that horse, because it must have some ability if he named a Cool Cullen. That's 2 plus 2 equals 12.
But it's an interesting spot. Into handicap and headgear on. Yeah, it could be interesting. The only other one I had from the card was very quickly, I think, becoming a cliff horse of many people in handicaps in Ireland, and that's Torrin Shaman for Jesse Harrington. Extremely unlucky in a premier handicap at the Curragh last time over a mile, when I thought he was badly hampered by Raise You. Raise You went from nearly one side of the track all the way over to the other side. Torrin Shaman was the first to get taken out. He still finished fifth. I think what was very interesting, look, he regularly attracts support, but on that day, I think he was a double-figure price the evening before, and he's SP'd 4-1. They really expected a big run. Whether he would have won without the interference, I'm not so sure, but he would have been very close anyway. Like last year, he was running really well in good handicaps off marks of 95. He's running off 88. He's stepping up to 10. I don't think that'll be an issue. And he is going to win one of these handicaps at some stage. Whether by the time he actually wins one, he'll be a big enough price to get me back the money I've lost en route to that win is another thing.
That's the definition of a cliff horse, and you are teetering. I think you've got like a couple of fingers left on the cliff edge, and you're about to fall off, I think, if nothing happens this weekend. We'll keep an eye out for Torin Shaman. That's in the 4:15. Listen, thank you very much for your time, Frank Hickey. Best of luck with all of your bets this weekend. Do gamble responsibly. If you don't fancy anything, folks, don't have a bet. It's as simple as that. It is supposed to be fun, and it should be fun. And there are, if you do feel you're struggling with it, there are ways to get involved at paddypower.gaming.com in terms of finding out what supports there are available. Please do check that out. Otherwise, I've been Patrick Kennelly. Thanks to Frank Hickey. We will be back early next week to discuss the Dante meeting, where maybe we'll see the Derby and Oaks winner. Maybe we've already seen the Derby and Oaks winner. But until then, please do subscribe to the pod. We'll be back next week on a couple of occasions. But until then, stay safe, stay well, and stay lucky.